Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Toby Stapleton, the director of the UMass Dartmouth Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. My co-host today is Peter Meyerson, who's the attorney, author, and regular co-host of Radio Entrepreneurs. Peter?
You finally got that right.
Yeah, I did. I did, Peter. I did.
So, thank you, Toby. It's great to be here. You know, this is really an exciting show that you're running. And, you know, the last guest, I think, probably felt a little uncomfortable because he was young, but boy, was I impressed. I mean, and if that's the kind of people you're producing here, it is really an impressive operation.
Well, thanks, Peter. I mean, one of the reasons we're able to attract that caliber of individual, and we've actually, as I mentioned in one of the previous segments, over the last 15 years, we've spun out 45 companies from the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship in all sorts of industries. And the reason that the tech venture companies come in here, or one of the reasons why they come to the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship, is our next guest, Ed Spring. Ed Spring is our prototype lab manager and machine shop, the person who is in charge of building the prototypes and helping all of the inventors, the tech venture companies, and entrepreneurs from the region essentially build out or realize their vision for their product or prototype. Ed, welcome to the show.
Hi.
It's great to have you.
Yeah, Ed, before we get started, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you, you've been here at the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship and our predecessor, the Advanced Technology Manufacturing Center, for some time. What'd you do before you joined the university?
Oh, boy. I graduated high school from Dayton-Rehoboth Regional Machine Shop. So I started off in machine shops since high school and just worked in the community as a machinist for several companies in the Attleboro area. The last place I worked previous to the university was down the street here in Fall River. I managed a machine shop and foundry for, I don't want to say their name, a very high-end bathroom hardware company.
Unless you're going to insult them.
No.
You can mention it. But so why did you come here?
Opportunity, really. I like helping people, you know, and I enjoy meeting people. I enjoy seeing people's ideas. It's very interesting to me to see how other people's brains work. You know,
Toby, this is a common theme.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah, that. And one of the things that, you know, Ed, I know just by working with you that everything. You know, Peter asked the question before. You know, how do companies engage with us? And I said, everything here starts with a conversation, and that's true for the machine shop as well. But over the last 10 years since you've been here at the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship, you have seen a lot come through the machine shop. Can you tell us some of the projects that you've worked on?
One of the very first projects that I inherited when I came here was midstream. When I came on board, it was a leg support device. This woman, Gina Polinchek, she's a PhD physical therapist, and she had an idea for a leg support physical therapy related
device. So human leg.
Human leg. I should have clarified that.
No.
Could have been a dog leg. But, yeah. But human leg. She had this idea of a support device, because you get in a car accident, you break your leg. You know, how do they transport you? They throw you on a gurney, and they throw pillows or other cases or whatever to stabilize your leg, and they tape you down, and off you go. Well, she had this idea for a pop-up adjustable device specifically designed to support your leg in transit. And it would cross over into the physical therapy genre also. So the first prototype that she had made really wasn't great. I came on board. I saw the prototype that she had and the designs. And you know, that's why I said I like to get some insight into other people's creativity. You know, that's the really fantastic thing about this job. You get to see how other people's brains work. And I saw that, and I said, I don't know about that brain. But I redesigned it, and she loved it. You know, she tried to shop it around. She wanted to, you know, hit ambulance companies with this thing, and I don't know how well she did, but that was the very first thing we did. It streamlined it, all aluminum, stainless steel, you know, beautiful piece, very easy to actuate. I was very proud of that.
So this was sort of post-trauma exoskeleton kind of stuff.
Yes.
Okay. Interesting. Really?
Yeah, collapsible, just a great part. You know, I went from there to, you know, that was one of the first big projects. But from there, you know, I did some little things, camera tripod mounting system for a real estate photographer, you know, did a lot of prototype work for Ocean Server, some minor design stuff for them.
Yeah, that and that's Ocean Server is one of our long-standing tech venture companies. Right. Started here, they're a company that makes underwater autonomous vehicles. Right. They've just been acquired by L3 Communications, so a big multi-billion-dollar company acquired one of our startups,
yeah.
And you helped to build some of the early prototypes. In fact, in the studio with us today, you've got some examples of another company, a company called Aquabotics. This company makes remotely operated vehicles, ROVs, as well as some cameras and other equipment for marine use. And they started right here in the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. They just went public on the Australian Stock Exchange. It was a $7 million raise. And you've got both their, I think this is one of their early generation products, as well as the next generation. Can you tell us about what these are?
Well, this is their original, like you said, one of the early ROVs. This basically is a fly-by iPhone underwater camera.
Right.
Right. So you have your little lens, you have a tether.
Yep.
That goes
so
up.
So it's tethered to the surface.
It's tethered to the surface to a buoy that gets the connection from your wireless Bluetooth iPhone. So this tether goes to a buoy and it's wirelessly connected to your device, and then you fly it, you know, with your phone. Pretty cool. When they first came to our facility, it didn't look like this. It had a couple of things it needed to have tweaked. Keith McKenzie and I reviewed their design, made some suggestions to them, and then they took it a couple of iterations down the road, and so they have what is in front of them. Their first design was probably not going to work very well, but that's what we're here for.
Right.
Help people to, you know, spot things, change things, modify things, get to the next viable iteration, you know. And these are the latest castings that they sent to us to have modified for the next iteration of their device. It's their next production vehicle is much longer. They put an extension on here. They put another set of thrusters on here so they can get a little more maneuverability underwater.
Right. And you mentioned Keith McKenzie, who's our operations manager here at the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. So when an entrepreneur comes into the CIE with an idea, or an inventor comes in with an idea, how does that process work? And what are some of our capabilities here at the CIE?
Well, the process is very simple, and, you know, we like to talk. So they come in, we sit down, we have a conversation with them. We go through a design review.
Yeah, the coffee is always on, right?
The coffee is always on, and tea. So we go through a little design review process, you know, minor design review. You know, we just look at glaring issues. And then we'll hit them with a quote. Look, this is how much it's going to cost to bring you from here to whatever their goal is, whether it's a working prototype, it could be a virtual prototype, it could be that they just want technical information to apply for the patent. I only want drawings, you know, whatever their end game is, you know, we'll talk with them and devise a strategy to get them to where they need to be. And again, you know, it could be something 3D printed, it could be whatever.
Right.
You know? So it starts with a conversation. And we go from there. Very, very simple.
So, and we're in the process. So we have the, you know, traditional CNC bridge ports,
yes.
Welding capabilities, some
yep.
finishing capabilities, and you're in the process of building out a rapid prototyping center. What is that, and how is that going to help?
The rapid prototyping center sounds like what it is. It's we're acquiring some equipment. We're acquiring a 40-watt CO2 laser. Engraver, burner, a Creaform GoScan white light scanner so that we can scan some more complex things that would be tedious to model traditionally with CAD software. We're acquiring a larger format 3D printer. We have a 3D printer in-house right now. Our build cube is 6x8x8, which is great, you know. It's made by Stratasys. It's a U-print.
But it's a little small.
It's a little bit small. I've had some jobs that have really pushed the limit of it. We did a tail for Ocean Server, right? They incorporated the rear section of their sub and the court nozzle all in one piece, and they wanted to 3D print the first one to make sure it fit their system.
So, somebody out there, so save somebody the trouble of Googling it. What is a court nozzle?
A court nozzle is a thruster duct. So a propeller in the water, traditionally, you know, on the back of your boat, you see the propeller in the back of your motor. You know, it pushes your boat through the water, great. But if you want to increase the efficiency of that propeller and get more thrust per rotation, you put a nozzle on it, right? And the nozzle is a particular hydrodynamic shape that will increase the efficiency of the propeller and system as it's driving through the water. So they incorporated that court nozzle and tail end body in one piece, saving them, you know, some manufacturing time, increasing their efficiency and their ability to create parts.
So, Ed, does somebody have to be a tech venture company? Does somebody have to be incubating here in order to access the prototype shop?
Absolutely not.
So how does somebody contact you?
Hopefully they see me on the website, and they just call me or email me.
Yeah, and the website is umassd.edu/innovate. UMassD as in Delta .edu/innovate, and Ed's contact information is there.
We've had several situations where people have called in from Springfield. I've done a prototype for a guy out in upstate New York, a tool basically for a bicycle tool that helps align particular items of his bike. You know,
you're a very broad scope designer.
Yep, we try.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, we've done a lot of different things. Right down to like fidget toys. You know, fidget toys are the biggest craze right now. Well, not biggest, but you know, it's a craze.
Fidget toys.
Yes.
I used to have a fidget stone.
Well,
I think it's the same concept.
Probably the same
concept. So, Ed, you have one of the fidget toys with you.
I do.
And
I have this.
So it is, what is that made out of?
This is made out of bronze. That's all it does.
It spins.
Somebody's making money by going like this.
Yep.
Right? This is solid bronze. The gentleman that I made this for, he's an engineer for a local large contractor. And he designed this in his own time. And put it up on his website called Etsy, right? Started selling them. He hadn't even made one yet. He just put a picture up,
right?
And people started buying them.
Right.
So he came to me and said, hey, I really need these bad. I'm selling them. I'm going to get in trouble. So I think it was 10 in titanium, and I made 20 in either brass or bronze, and I even made some in stainless steel. So it's a fair quantity, a small quantity, and he's selling them for $100 a piece, $80 a piece, depending upon the material. The titanium ones he's selling for $150 a piece. Okay, every single one of them is sold. Every single one of them. He bought his own little CNC mill to put in his basement so he can keep the production going.
So he can make it himself. That's funny.
I have a lot of clients.
It's a very funny, very funny story.
Fidget toy. Right.
But it does demonstrate the breadth of your capacity here at center.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, and I think that case is probably a really good case where somebody comes in and has the initial run done, you know, essentially a prototype done, and then when he gets to the stage where he's got to have, you know, commercial production, he's got to figure out, or that entrepreneur has to figure out how he's going to, how they're going to take it and make dozens of these, because, you know, we are, you know, really good at building prototypes, and it's one of the advantages to working with us versus a traditional machine shop. And we work with, as you know, Ed works with the region's machine shops in order to add to the capabilities that we have here, as well as you know, help those companies find the commercial production that they're going to need once they scale up.
And that actually holds true with a lot of the companies that I mentioned. The camera tripod mount for the real estate photographer, we made him his prototype. We went through a couple of different iterations. Now he has the castings created locally. He has them shipped, drop shipped to local machine shops. They drop ship to his house. He assembles them in his basement, and he puts them into a kit, and he sells them, just drops them into UPS, sells them online.
Right.
That's entrepreneurship.
That is. And that's what we're shooting for.
Well, great. Well, yeah, Ed, so we've been talking with Ed Spring, our a prototype lab and machine shop manager here at the UMass Dartmouth Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship with my co-host, Peter Meyerson. Peter?
Yep. Well, this has been a great interview, very interesting, Ed, and you did it very well. This is Peter Meyerson with Toby Stapleton, and this is Radio Entrepreneurs, and we will be back after the next message.